You're tuned in to More Living with Jim Brogan, broadcast live from the Brogan Financial Studios at News Talk 98.7, where old-fashioned values, expert knowledge, and genuine understanding come together to give you the retirement straight talk you deserve. Jim's a former National Advisor of the Year recipient and a financial educator, and he's here today to talk about how you can live out the best years of your life. Jim and the Brogan Financial team have been helping retirees and pre-retirees across the Southeast for over 20 years in their pursuit of financial independence. You can reach them during the week at 865-862-6800. So sit back, relax, and get ready to learn, because More Living with Jim Brogan starts now.
Hello, East Tennessee. Welcome to More Living with Jim Brogan, where it's all about living the best years of your life your way. This is News Talk 98.7 WOKI, and we're starting to think about gathering with the family during the holiday season. Hard to believe it's almost here. We're less than 2 weeks from Thanksgiving. Here's something most people don't realize. The most valuable gift that you can leave your family is not found in your bank account or your investment portfolio. You know, according to research, 77% of baby boomers say that the most important parts of an inheritance are values and life experiences, and that values and life experiences are 10 times more important than the money itself. Yet surveys show that only 10% of wealthy families give their heirs any concrete idea of what to expect or why decisions were made. This holiday season, we'll explore how legacy letters, some people call those ethical wills, you could call it an I love you letter, can become the most meaningful gift you ever give them, sharing your wisdom, your values, your life lessons, all of this while you're still here to discuss them. You know, Warren Buffett himself recently urged all parents to have their children read their wills before signing them, your adult children, because, and I quote, "You don't want your children asking why when you are no longer able to respond." So today we're going to talk about what's important in legacy, what is the most valuable gift you can leave and pass down. We'll talk about transparent estate planning and why that can prevent family conflict down the line. And we'll talk about the great wealth transfer, preparing your heirs for their inheritance. So we'll explore practical strategies for creating your own legacy letter, communicating your estate plans effectively, and ensuring that your family understands both your financial decision and the values behind them. So let's talk about leaving a legacy. You know, holiday shopping, we're going to focus on material gifts. The best time in the holidays are being with our loved ones. I don't think there's any doubt people would say that. And the most meaningful presents cannot be wrapped and placed under a tree. So when you look at, I like to say there are four kinds of assets that we leave behind potentially to our loved ones. Now, one of those kinds of assets are our financial assets. And that's what we typically think about when we think about leaving a legacy. Our bank account, our investments, our property, whatever. Now, but there's three other categories of assets. There's your relational assets. These are the relationships you have with the people you love, your family, your friendships, the people that impact your life, the people that you impact. So there's your financial assets, your relational assets, there's your educational assets. Those are the life lessons you've learned and the wisdom that you can impart on people that you love. And then finally, there's your spiritual assets, your foundational beliefs, and all of those things. Now, of those four assets, financial, relationships, educational, and spiritual assets, if I asked you of those four things, if you could only leave three of those things for your family behind, which one would you choose to give up and not leave for the kids? You know, I think most people would say they would give up the financial assets if they had to give up one to leave behind. You know, think about this. You know, if you've taught your kids educational assets, life experience, your wisdom, adult kids, they don't need an inheritance in order to be successful, hopefully. Relational assets are your life experience, you know, all those relationships you have. And we know how important spiritual assets are. So most people would say they would give up the financial assets. And this is a problem in the estate planning world. I think this is the biggest problem with estate planning is when we talk about estate planning, the number one thing that you typically focus on is how do you take care of your stuff. But what you ought to be focusing on is how do you take care of your people. And it's a lot more important than just the stuff you leave them. So, you know, you can leave personal documents that convey values, beliefs, and life lessons. Some people call a legacy letter. Some people call it an ethical will. It's just a couple pages, usually. You know, but you document, you communicate values, you communicate experiences and life lessons to your families. You know, I think you should be doing all of this prior to passing away, in addition to having documents that can do that once you're gone, posthumously. But these are very, very important things. You know, I have a colleague in California, and years ago, when I had met him, it was probably 20 years ago, he had mentioned recently that his grandfather had recently passed away. And his grandfather, my friend Jack, he was one of, I think, 12 or 13 grandkids. And all of the grandkids had a very unique and special relationship with their grandfather, which many of you have those relationships listening to this show with your grandkids and your kids. And when the grandfather passed away, they each got a love letter. And Jack got his own love letter. And Jack's favorite thing with his grandfather was sitting on the front porch playing the guitar with him. And so he got a love letter from his grandfather. And what it said, "Dear Jack, I'm leaving you 200 shares of Bristol Myers stock. Every time you get a dividend, I want you to think of the great times we had on the front porch playing the guitar together. This is my legacy to you." You know, last I spoke with Jack, he still owned that Bristol Myers stock over 25 years later. And you know what? 200 shares of Bristol Myers stock wasn't worth a fortune. All the other grandkids got a similar love letter with shares of Bristol Myers stock. Now, they were all customized for each grandchild. Jack's unique experience with his grandfather was playing the guitar on the front porch. Every 6 months, Jack gets a dividend, and what does he think? He thinks about the memories with his grandfather. You know, does the dividend make a significant impact in his life? Not financially. I mean, I'm sure he enjoys it, getting that dividend. It's the memory and the legacy that his grandfather was able to leave behind. So, you know, anytime you write your own love letter or your own legacy letter, ethical will, whatever you want to call it, they focus on non-material aspects of legacy. Now, you can link an asset with that letter, like Jack's grandfather did, and that can be especially meaningful. But you communicate values, experience, life lessons to your family. You know, in a survey of over 2,600 baby boomers and elders, participants felt that non-financial legacy was 10 times more important than the money. And the response overwhelmingly favored personal legacy over worldly goods. 77% of those surveyed felt values and life experiences were very, very important parts of an inheritance. Yet, when we do estate planning, it's all about, what do you do with the stuff? How's it going to be left? What are you going to do with all that? And it's just a little bit of an issue there, right? So, Key elements that you can include in these type of documents, you know, you can include your personal history. You can include your favorite things. Many of those favorite things, I'm sure your kids and your grandkids know about those favorite things. But having them documented in writing can be very meaningful well after you're gone. You know, your academic and personal life. You know, your, especially for your grandkids. You know, your kids, I'm sure, have a very, very good knowledge of your personal and professional life, but and your education. But what about your grandkids? You know, my father, one of the things that I've talked about fairly recently, Dad died about 8.5 years ago. And one of the things that we had known about was that when Dad was in law school at University of Kentucky, he had been a student at the University of Tennessee in undergrad. And he was very involved in the University of Tennessee. Now, he was from Eastern Kentucky, and he transferred to Kentucky to finish up his law degree. And in 1955, a group of students from the University of Kentucky came down to Knoxville the week of the Tennessee-Kentucky football game, and they stole Smokey. And my dad was the one that, he was the ringleader of all that, because he had all the knowledge. He had the credentials because he was president of the pep club. He knew what to do. He knew Smokey was on a special diet. The reason I'm telling you this is we as kids knew that. But when we had the funeral, my dad's brother, my uncle, was one of the four people that spoke at the funeral. And he told some things about the story that we had never heard before. Where Smokey was kept. He was kept on a farm in Middlesboro, Kentucky. We found out details about the farm, the special diet he had to have. It's just, we knew some. We didn't know all of that stuff. Anything that you can do to write down life experiences, I can assure you, your children and grandchildren are going to be extremely appreciative years after you're gone. You talk about how to leave a legacy. And then also when you can connect an asset to a specific memory like Jack's grandfather did, you know, you can express your religious views, your spiritual values. You can express your political views. You can express hope for the future, life lessons, defining experiences in your life. So all of these things can be extremely valuable to your kids and grandkids. So, you know, a legacy letter, it's one of the most meaningful gifts you can give your family. It's a way to share who you are, what you believe, and what you hope for them long after you're gone. But it requires taking time and reflection and having the courage to put your thoughts into words. Now, legacy letters work best when integrated with comprehensive estate planning. Now, as a financial professional, we help clients think holistically about their legacy. Not only their financial assets, but their values and wisdom they want to share. So whether you're thinking about starting your own legacy letter, your own love letter, wondering how to communicate your values to the next generation, or looking to create a complete estate plan that reflects both your professional and your financial and your personal wishes, we can help you guide you through that process. It is very important to have all your ducks in a row. Now, in our next segment, we're going to talk about the importance of communication while you're alive. And I'll add that not only about your stuff, but about your values, about all of these things. That way your kids aren't asking why when you're gone, and you cannot answer those questions. So stay with us. We'll have more right here on More Living with Jim Brogan on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
Welcome back to News Talk 98.7's Brogan Financial Studios, where Jim Brogan is coming to you live with important news and advice to help you achieve your dream retirement. Get ready to learn and live. Here's your host, Jim Brogan.
Welcome back to More Living here on News Talk 98.7 WOKI. I'm Jim Brogan. We're talking about legacy. What is the most valuable gift you can leave your family? It's your values, your relationships. It's your educational assets, your life lessons. It's your spiritual assets. Those things are more important than money. Now, the money's important, but those other things are more important. And if we can connect those things together, we can really create impact. Now, when Warren Buffett speaks about wealth, the world listens. Recently, the 94-year-old billionaire shared surprisingly candid advice about estate planning that applies to families at every wealth level. His message, is simple, but it's very profound. Have your adult children read your will before you sign it. Or if your will was done when they were not old enough, then have them read it now. Make sure they understand your reasoning while you're still here to explain it. You know, that's his core advice, and I agree with that. Have your children, once they're mature, have them read your will. And that's what, whether you have modest wealth, whether you have significant wealth, or just a little bit of wealth, make sure your children understand both the logic and the responsibilities that come with everything. You know, listen to questions and suggestions. And those that are that you find to be sensible, adopt those things. You don't want children asking why when you're no longer able to respond to that. You know, we've seen many families driven apart by will dictates that are implemented after you're gone. Beneficiaries are left confused. Sometimes they're angry. Jealousies can occur. Childhood slights become magnified. You know, we've seen situations where well-discussed wills bring families closer together. Remember, having these types of conversations, and I know it's not always real easy. You know, it can be awkward. But you don't have to share a lot of detail about the amounts of things. You can just talk about how things are structured and what you do have. How are they going to receive those things? Do you have any kind of stipulations once you're gone? Do you have, you know, certain access to money until they get a certain age with a testamentary trust? You know, do you have money that you're giving to churches and charities upon your death? And if so, why? Why is that important to you? Have you incorporated that in a way that makes the most sense from a tax perspective? Because when we do charitable planning at death, or charitable planning for death, we should absolutely start with assets that have not been taxed yet, and we can avoid the tax. And that's essentially going to be your retirement accounts, your IRAs, your 401ks, thinking like that. Now, if you look at Warren Buffett's principles, you know, he's giving away a lot of his fortune to philanthropy. You know, he's famous for saying we want to give our kids enough so they can do anything, but not enough that they can do nothing. And so I think that's an important consideration regardless of your amount of wealth. And maybe more importantly, the best way to ask that is, could your wealth, whatever you leave behind, could it actually hurt one of your kids or grandkids? You know, could they get too money, a child receiving too much money too soon could ruin their life because of the access to money. Now Warren Buffett's kids are ages 71, 69, and 66. Many of you listening to these shows have adult kids that are in their 50s and 60s. Many of you have kids in their 30s and 40s, and then many of you have younger kids. I think you have to have built-in flexibility to respond to changing circumstances. You know, I think one of the things that gets people held up when they do their estate planning, and one of the reasons people haven't done it, they haven't done their wills and their other legal documents, is because they feel like they're making a permanent decision that's etched in concrete. And that's not true. An estate plan should be a living, breathing thing. You need to get out your wills and review them regularly and your other legal documents. Now, what's regularly? I'd say every 4 to 5 years. And if you have a major life event in your family, what is a major life event? A marriage or a divorce, a birth or a death. It doesn't mean you need to change anything, but you definitely need to get it out and read it and see, you know, is there something you might want to change? Every 4 or 5 years, you should be reaching out to an attorney if you had an attorney do your legal documents. Are there any changes that need to be made based on legal changes? Changes in the law. You know, if you had your estate planning done before 2020, there's been two changes in the laws on how the rules work for inherited retirement accounts. And if you've planned for that, you know, if you have any kind of trust planning or any other kind of specialized planning for your retirement accounts, you probably need to have that looked at again. You know, adding younger successor trustees in case children can't complete anything, having contingencies in place, and then who's going to be that person? You know, if you have a trust at death, when you and your spouse are gone, if you're married, who's going to be the trustee? If you've got three kids, are you going to pick one or the other? That's a thing I get a lot. Who's going to be your executor? You need to communicate these things. You know, it's not a great idea to, you know, if you have three kids, to name all three of them. Because, you know, if you use the word and, you know, John and Mary and Timothy, then they have to all agree on everything. They've all got to sign everything. I mean, talk about a nightmare. It's better to name one person than the next, than the next. The person that serves as an executor or a trustee of a trust, if you are going to have a trust after your death, that person probably needs to be very organized, disciplined, on top of things. Now, that person could also be a very good financial power of attorney for you while you're alive. But then your medical power of attorney might be best to be another child. But, you know, you don't want to pass away and then your kids find these things out and it creates resentment. So I know these conversations may be a little uncomfortable, but we should be talking about these things now. They can be tough, but they're meaningful, and ultimately they can help strengthen relationships. You want to have your children have realistic expectations about their inheritance. If there are unequal distributions or you're leaving things in a different way, like let's say you've got two kids and one child can handle things very responsibly and the other cannot, and you don't want it to hurt them and teach them bad lessons in life. Or maybe they have a potentially abusive behavior that money would compound the problem. Well, I like to say love our kids equally but uniquely. It's okay to leave one child money outright and the other child money in trust to protect them from poor decisions, bad habits, whatever. Okay, now there's also benefits with creditor protection and other things like that, even for a child that can handle the money. So that's notwithstanding that. I'm just saying it's okay to be equal but unique. Okay, and equal, sometimes it might be an unequal distribution and there's a reason for that. But you really want to have these conversations before you're gone and you can't explain it and it creates resentment and rifts in the family. So why do so many families avoid discussing estate plans until it's too late? I think we don't know how to do it. It can be uncomfortable. I just think we have open dialogue. You know, with what's coming up with the holidays, this is a perfect time with family Christmas parties and dinners. It's a great time to just be talking about things. And one thing that can really make that more comfortable is to not just make it about assets, about financial assets, make it about those other things too that I talked about in the first segment. Your educational assets, which are your life experiences, the things you've learned over all these years. Your relationship assets, which are the relationships you have with all the people that you love and that you impact and that have impacted you. And your spiritual assets. So include those in the conversation and don't let it get sidetracked by amounts. You know, you don't have to get too into the weeds with exactly how much money it is in a retirement account, but you can most certainly be talking about what the taxation is of that retirement account when you're gone and how your kids should be equipped to deal with that. So, you know, your adult children may be able to help shape your estate plan. They may have ideas you hadn't thought of, and you start going through those details, and they may, you know, say, Mom, Dad, I don't want that like that. Why don't you leave more to Susie? You know, you never know what might come up. Or, you know what, I want some of mine that you would set up for me. I want it to go in trust for my children, for your grandkids. You know, you can also look at donor-advised funds to help families continue philanthropic legacies. You know, when you give to a donor advised fund, you can make a one-time gift. You can give a pretty, you know, size. You can give a more sizable amount. You can load it up into 1 year, and there could be tax reasons to want to do that. Maybe you, what if you sold a significant asset, a business, or maybe you sold a stock, or you sold a property, and you're trying to offset that. And so instead of giving, you know, $10,000 a year to church, you want to give $50,000 all at once. Make a five-year gift. Well, you can do that with a donor-advised fund. You get the tax deduction now, and then that donor-advised fund is going to be managed in investments, and you will. It is an irrevocable gift, but then you decide when and how much gets distributed to charities and churches of your choice. That can live on beyond your death. You can include your kids in that. You talk about a way to impact and provide legacy, provide impact and legacy. You start talking about philanthropic giving that can happen after you're gone, that you've had communication about your values and ideals and spiritual assets. That's going to be very meaningful to your kids and grandkids. Now, if you have a particularly large estate, you can look at doing that through trusts and family foundations and other things. But a simple way to do that is a donor advised fund. You don't have legal fees, you don't have costs, it's not complicated, but the kids can participate both now and when you're gone. So those can be very, very powerful things. So I think having transparency in estate planning, it's wisdom that applies to families regardless of wealth. Having your children read and understand your will while you're alive to explain things can help prevent confusion, hurt feelings, and family conflict after you're done. Now, those conversations require preparation. They require the right timing. It can be helpful to have a neutral third party to facilitate difficult discussions. I think it's critical to include discussions about things other than just the money and the stuff. Talk about what the stuff means to you. Talk about these other things, your relationships and your life experiences and your spiritual assets and importance of what is important to you. So this makes these conversations easier. But you've got to be organized and plan ahead of time. What are you going to talk about? What are you not going to talk about in terms of specifics and numbers? All these things are important. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the massive wealth transfer that is happening right now and is going to happen over the next 25 years, and why preparing your heirs for that is just as important as preparing your estate itself. So stay with us. This is More Living with Jim Brogan here on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
Welcome back to News Talk 98.7's Brogan Financial Studios, where Jim Brogan is coming to you live with important news and advice to help you achieve your dream retirement. Get ready to learn and live. Here's your host, Jim Brogan.
This is More Living with Jim Brogan, where it's all about living the best years of your life your way. You can catch us every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and again from 3 to 4 p.m. Check us out online, broganfinancial.com. You can click on radio and you can stream our shows there after the fact. We've got a library of several years' worth of shows on there. You can also podcast us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. We'll have this up usually around Tuesday afternoon, but we have all of our prior shows as well. So do check us out. We provide a lot of resources on our website so you can make informed and prudent decisions that can impact the quality of your life, period. So you can click on the resources tab, get guides, you can follow us, get our blogs, follow our weekly e-newsletter, all those things. We are witnessing the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in history. Over $105 trillion with a T is projected to pass from older generations to heirs over the next 25 years. But here's the sobering reality. Roughly 70% of heirs' money, assets, and family harmony disappear after an estate transition. The problem is not the amount being transferred in most cases. It's that the heirs aren't prepared to receive it. So today, let's talk about how ensuring your heirs are ready for their inheritance. So it's a remarkable scale of wealth transfer projected by 2048, over $100 trillion. That's from Bloomberg. More than half will come from households with 5-plus million in assets, but the other half will come from households with less than 5 million assets. Millennials are expected to inherit almost half of that, over $45 trillion. Now, estate tax receipts in 2023 were only $24 billion. So in other words, what we're seeing is fewer and fewer people are subject to estate tax. You know, the estate tax exemption this year is $13.99 million for a married couple. That's effectively $28 million. It goes to $15 million per person next year and will continue to be adjusted for inflation. Congress has never voted in a law that would decrease the estate tax exemption. Now, that didn't mean it couldn't happen. And we've seen estate taxes go down, but it was because of, you know, where you had a sunset provision in an existing law. In other words, we had a law with a tax and the estate tax exemption, and then it was going to sunset due to funding requirements or lack of having 60 votes in the Senate. And so it goes back to the old law. But the Congress has never in our history, to my knowledge, enacted a vote to lower the estate tax exemption. So it is affecting fewer people. Um, 75% of baby boomers do not believe their heirs are prepared. And 61% of boomers have not provided guidance on how their wealth should be used. So they're not having these conversations with their families. So successful wealth transfer is not just about money. It's understanding, it's the beneficiaries understanding their purpose and their role. Givers who speak early feel more prepared to leave their money. They're more confident their heirs will respect their wishes. 96% of receivers, now this is an interesting thing, should you be doing some giving now? 96% of receivers say inheritance would be more impactful now than in 20 to 30 years. And I think that's something that you need to think about. Now, don't go overboard with that, but I get asked that question a lot by my clients. You know, they're like, you know, if you're 80 years old, or look at it this way, if you're 60, when you're 80 years old, how long are your adult kids? How old are your adult kids going to be? How much do you really want to see the impact of these things while you're alive as opposed to having that impact at death? Now, most people we work with say, you know, Jim, it's important to me what we pass on, but you know what? Take care of us. We gave our kids great opportunities in life. We want to take care of ourselves. Now, whatever we have left, we want to leave legacy. And we certainly don't want to benefit the IRS. And I think most people are like that. Most of you listening today are like that. But here's the question. Whether you leave $50,000 or $500,000 or $5 million, the question is, who do you want to benefit from that? How do you want to pass on your value systems? And do you want it to create a rift in the family? And all of you would say no. So I know it may not be the number one thing that you're focusing on in your planning, but you don't want it to break up families. You would like that money to last, because usually it does not last. So, you know, what are some financial, as an example, what are some financial skills that you can teach your kids? I think just that, you know, that now that should start really when we're raising them. We can be at this point, if you're retired, you can be training up your grandkids. You can be sharing your wisdom on money with them. And I think it's important to have a money life balance. And I think one of the best ways to create money life balance for our kids and grandkids is to give. Give to organizations, you know, churches and charities. Not only our financial assets, but our time, which is really as valuable an asset as we have, is our time. Because when we do that, we see there are other people with challenges and bigger challenges in most cases than what we have and that are more needy. And when we do that, it gets us out of ourselves, so to speak. We can teach us responsible wealth management to our adult children. Should you consider giving partial inheritance during your lifetime? Be careful with that because, you know, you want to make sure you take care of yourself. But as you age, you may decide, we want to start doing some things here and there. Like, you know, we got a lot of clients that set up 529 plans for their children or their grand, or even more likely their grandchildren. You know, those are college savings programs. But I'm increasingly getting clients to ask, should I go ahead and start doing some of those things? And, you know, I want to start giving kids out of college some gifting every year. Now you have to do those within the rules. And you got to make sure you understand those rules. You know, if you give a gift that's too large, how do you handle that where there's no tax involved? It does create potential tax returns. But like, you know, in 2025, you can give $19,000 to another person without any type of a gift tax filing, any type of anything. You can do it. You can just write a check. You don't have to file anything. And that's $19,000. If you're married as a couple, you can do $38,000 per person. So, you know, you can have impact without worrying too much about complicated tax returns and taxes and things like that. But you do need to know those rules. But, you know, small giving here and there, you can see impact now, especially with grandkids. Just be careful you don't circumvent your own planning and be very cautious in those early years of retirement because, you know, the first 5 to 10 years of retirement is critical that you don't see too much of a depletion in your account values because it could negatively impact you later. So you do want to be careful that you have the assets to be able to do some of that. I know my brother and I have talked about this with my mom and dad. My mom's 90 years old. My dad passed away 8.5 years ago. She's just not going to need to spend through all her money, but she is in a progressive and has been in a progressive assisted living facility. She just got transitioned into the nursing home part of that because of her memory and lack of mobility. And John, my oldest brother, had a conversation with me about how she had expressed maybe wanting to go ahead and give some money to us kids now. And I told him, I said, John, I don't think she should do that. She's getting ready to need nursing home care. Yeah, it's very unlikely she's going to need all this money, but what if she does? And myself and my two brothers, we don't need it right now. I mean, I'm sure my mom would love to see some impact now while she can see that, but we don't need it. So there's a balancing act there, right? So just be very, very careful. But, you know, having these conversations with your family can be very impactful. And you can use family holiday gatherings to start these conversations. Now, you also want to be looking for warning signs that an heir maybe isn't ready for the inheritance and that it could hurt them. Now, there's a difference in they'd spend it all versus Jim, it could actually hurt them. Maybe they have an abusive behavior. And you've got to decide if it's more they just spend it, but it wouldn't hurt them, what lengths are you going to go to restrict their access? You know, usually by the time they get to a certain age, whatever that you decide that is, age 30, age 35, age 40, you know, at that point, if they can't handle it, they can't, you know, if they're going to spend it, they're going to spend it. You've got to make that choice, but you definitely don't want it to hurt them and then learn, you know, get bad habits, become lazy, or have abusive behavior. So all these things important. I think we need to be talking to our kids about all these things. One of the great ways to bridge that conversation is don't make it just about the assets and the money. And unfortunately, that's what estate planning focuses on is the legal documents, the will. Any trust documents focuses on the stuff. We ought to be focusing even more on our relationships, our life experiences, our spiritual values. Those are what are most important. Now, we're going to get to our last break. We come back as we head into the last part of the year. What should you be doing to improve your finances? Stay with us. This is More Living with Jim Brogan here on Newstalk 98.7 WOKI.
Welcome back to News Talk 98.7's Brogan Financial Studios, where Jim Brogan is coming to you live with important news and advice to help you achieve your dream retirement. Get ready to learn and live. Here's your host, Jim Brogan.
Thanks for tuning in this week to More Living here on News Talk 98.7 WOKI. Check us out online at broganfinancial.com. We've got a wealth of resources for you, so you can make informed and prudent decisions that can impact the quality of your life in retirement and really in your whole life. Now, as we head into the last part of the year, what should we be doing to improve our finances? And I'm going to have a couple of things here. Number one, this is when you do your tax planning. You know, we don't do tax planning in March, February, March, and April. That's tax preparation. Tax preparation is looking through the rearview mirror. We're looking at things that have already happened. We really can't change it. You know, if you took a distribution from your IRA of $10,000 and you got a 1099 from it, well, there's really not anything you can do. You know, if you sold a mutual fund that had a long-term capital gain, I mean, you've done that. There's nothing you can do to go back and undo it. Likewise, if you didn't take advantage of a capital loss to help offset gains with smart money management, you can't go back and fix that either. You can't take a loss after the fact. Or Roth conversion. You can't go back and do that after December 31st. Now's the time to be doing these. See, tax preparation is the exercise we do every year in February and March and April. And it's as I said, you're looking into the past. It's really not proactive. Tax planning is looking to the future and being intentional. So it's saying, before we get to the end of the year, what can I be doing to save on my income taxes in 2025? Should I be what investments have capital gains? What investments have capital losses? How can I be smart about how I manage that? If you have mutual funds, what are they likely to be doing here at the end of the year with capital gains distributions? And you should you be doing things to offset that with loss harvesting? What about Roth conversion? Should you be considering Roth conversion? You know, let's be honest. I realize we got the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that made permanent the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act with those tax brackets. And people say, oh, that's permanent now. Well, it's only permanent in the sense that Congress is permanent, right? Congress can still change the law. And we have a math problem in the United States with our debt and our unfunded liabilities for Social Security, Medicare, and prescription drugs. Where are tax rates going to be in 10 to 15 years? So I cannot underscore or emphasize enough how much you should be doing tax planning in these times of the year, every year. Now, then the second thing you can be doing is looking at your current investment mix. Be sure that you're in balance. Now, don't overreact. Don't try to time the market. You know, we're getting a lot of people saying, Jim, markets are at all-time highs again, at least until this week. You know, should I be more cautious? You have to be very careful with that kind of thinking. Now, should you be rebalancing maybe? Has your stock exposure relative to the other asset classes you hold, has the stock exposure gotten a little bit out of whack because of growth over the last 3 years? How long has it been since you looked at the balance in your portfolio? And if you're using managed funds like mutual funds and active ETFs, are those funds still effective? Because there's a management risk there. They can become less effective over time. So we should be looking at these things, maximizing out our 401k contributions. That goes back to the tax planning. So doing your year-end tax planning should be an exercise right now today, and looking at your investment mix, your balances. Have you measured the risk in your portfolio? Are you comfortable with the risk? If you're getting near retirement, have you secured income in those early years of retirement so you're not subject to short-term stock market risk in terms of how it impacts your ability to retire on your times, in your time frame, and on your terms? So all these are so critically important. Today we've talked about mainly legacy and also some year-end planning, but a greater legacy provides for more living so you can live the best years of your life your way. So that, focus on the things that are most important to you. Tie those into the financial assets so that they can be meaningful. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you to Wayne for engineering the show and to Mary Caroline for helping to produce the show. This is More Living with Jim Brogan right here on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
The views expressed by Jim Brogan and his guests are not that of Cumulus Media. Any discussion of financial, legal, and tax planning strategies is not intended to be individualized advice and is general in nature. Always consult with your advisor for advice specific to your needs. This program's content does not represent a recommendation of any particular security, strategy, or investment by Jim Brogan or Brogan Financial Incorporated.